It seems that Miami has the state of Texas's number. Not only did they beat Houston, they also beat the team in Austin. And now they're faced in the Final Four against a really good UConn team. We'll talk about the men's side of things as well as all of the kerfuffle around men's ACC basketball and why maybe they're not getting enough love and what Jim Phillips thinks they need to do. We'll preview Virginia Tech winning tonight against our good friends at Ohio State. I think the Hokies got it. Let's talk about it on today's show.
You are Locked On ACC, your daily podcast on the Atlantic Coast Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to today's edition of Locked On ACC. I'm your host, Candace Cooper, joined by Kenton Gibbs of Locked On Wolfpack. Each and every day, you can find us here talking about all of your favorite ACC teams. We're rocking and rolling each and every day wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to that channel. We are so close to 1K, it hurts. Just make sure you share it with your friends that they need to get in on this action. And so today, our friends are still rocking and rolling from the ACC side. We've got a lot of good teams left here playing for a chance to be national champions, so we'll talk about them. We'll recap Miami, talk about the women, and then preview tonight's game for Virginia Tech, as well as sprinkle a little Jim Phillips in this bad boy, because he clearly has a lot of feelings and ways about what's going down here for the group. Kenton, how are you feeling?
I'm great as always. I have no complaints, really. This is a very interesting tournament that we're seeing come to a run, and Phillips getting a little spicy here. So I'm here for spicy Phillips always.
1,000%. So let's talk about the fact that Isaiah Wong said when he faces off against teams in the ACC, he is preparing himself for what is this high octane energy of an NCAA tournament. And they needed just that. When they face off against Houston, many had counted them out, including maybe Kenton Gibbs here. But when they faced off against Texas, they were out of that bad boy and found a way to win. So I think credit to Miami, who has been in multiple scenarios of starting fast and skirting off and trying their best to hang on, as well as a Miami team who kind of put themselves out of it and were able to squeak out wins. So the Hurricanes find themselves in the Final Four on the exact same day that Coach Larrañaga did it with that George Mason Cinderella team. Exciting for the Canes because they beat those Elite Eight Charges and the Players Tribune thing.
You know, they surely did. They surely did. And I think I said that they had a slim chance. So I didn't say that there was zero chance. There's other games where I said, hey, this team and folks on the record now, y'all have heard me. If I feel like there's zero chance, I'll say it out loud and proud. Hey, this team has no shot. This team has no shot. Yes, y'all have earned y'all respect. Yes, that listen, Miami has earned their respect, Mr. Lampkin. Miami has earned their respect, okay? I will give Miami their credit. I am not sitting here saying, oh, this team is a joke and all that good stuff. Listen, I didn't like that whole nobody believes in this narrative. I still don't like it when teams kick that nobody likes us thing. But Miami earned their respect. They earned their respect. They had two huge upsets, beating teams that everybody thought, hey, this team is put away. And at times against Texas, it looked like they were down for the count. But boy, did those Longhorns have, and I know that you've seen this phrase 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it for the 1,000th verse, a Texas-sized meltdown. But Miami helped them along the way in that meltdown. It wasn't just like Texas played terrible ball by themselves. No, Miami turned up their defensive pressure. Larrañaga made the adjustments that they needed to make offensively. Isaiah Wong put on a show.
He did.
Guys put on a show. Miller. I mean, oh my God, he was everywhere doing everything all at once. He might need an Oscar for that performance. That meant, listen, at the end of the day, this Miami team deserves all the love that they get. They deserve all the respect and the credit that they get. And you know what, Mr. Boulay, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to keep picking against Miami all the way through this thing, all right?
Maybe it's some reverse psychology there, but credit, as you mentioned, Jordan Miller having himself a game. It reminded me of when Miami went to Chapel Hill and Jordan Miller decided that he was going to put the team on his back. He did just that against Texas. And I think for a team that I wanted, listen, I was here for both teams, right? I love the story of how, you know, Texas coach took over and all of that controversy, and he led this team as far as he did. So glad they took that interim title off because he deserves that head coaching role. So I wasn't going to be upset if Texas had won. However, semicolon, comma, this is the ACC show. So, you know, I'm always rooting for the home team, makes for better content if we actually have people in this bad boy. So I was very happy to see Larrañaga get his due. Like I keep saying, my boy should have been coach of the year, because where is the Fighting Cable Crusaders? At home. So I feel like Larrañaga, Hall of Famer in my book, and I'm really excited for him to keep this thing rocking.
Absolutely. I mean, he has done great things in college basketball, but I'm going to say this. I don't believe he has a national championship yet, does he?
No, he does not.
It's hard to put a coach in without one. Go ahead and finish up the job, Coach L. Go ahead and finish up the job.
Here we go.
Am I lying?
A little bit.
What coaches do you think of that don't have a national championship that you're like, they belong in the hall?
Coach Hamilton out of FSU. Wow. He would have got a championship had they not had, you know, this whole pandemic thing, but we don't have to talk about it today. We know we have a lot of Miami fans listening.
We'd all be drunk. If Ips was fist, we would all be drunk as a skunk.
Getting back to this game, you know, minimal bench help, but it was the strength of this starting five. It was Omir. It was Poplar. It was Pack. It was Wong. It was Miller. Everyone doing their part, right? Even Joseph had flashing moments of being that guy. Got to make those free throws, buddy. Would want that in the next round of this. But I still think that Miami has a great shot. Now, we talk about Miami facing off against a UConn team. This Miami team has put themselves in a good position. UConn has been playing some elite old school Big East basketball. Can the Canes get the job done against a national championship game?
You know, I'm going to keep picking against the Canes. I'm going to keep doing it because, again, y'all want me to not pick with the Canes. Hey, I understand. I'm with you. UConn is going to get the job done. Just to help out the Canes a little bit more, UConn is going to get the job done. They're going to whoop the wheels off them. They're going to have a similar situation to Texas, but they're going to close the door when they get them down. Are you happy now, Miami fans? Are you happy? No, but seriously, I do think that this game is setting up to be a really good one. You know, like they say about boxing, it's not just that the fighters make the fights, it's the styles that make the fights. And in this game, you're looking at a very similar situation. And like you said, good old-fashioned Big East basketball. I mean, this UConn team is one that they play together. They play tough. UConn being relevant again is good for college basketball and all that. But again, them playing the way that they are with I don't want to butcher this young man's name, but Adama Sanogo doing what he's done on the inside and kind of running things through him a little bit. That is a team that, I mean, it's a situation where that front line is going to create problems for Omir, but can their guards keep up with Wong? Do they have anybody on the wing that's ready for Miller? I'm not going to lie to you and say I know that they do for a fact. So, I mean, again, the Miami fans asked me to pick against them, so I'm going to buy to keep picking against them. But I think that this is going to be a great matchup.
100%. Now, when you talk about Miami and the fact that Isaiah Wong said that ACC men's basketball prepared them for these moments, I think a lot is still trying to be talked about in regards to the lack of respect that the ACC is getting, when in fact we have now for the second year another team facing off in the Final Four. Last year we had two teams in the Final Four. So where is this silliness coming from? I asked on Twitter, people were like, oh, well, it's a narrative. The Big Ten is popping, the Big 12, their writers are better. I'm like, well, I see some really good writers around the ACC. I think we've got enough credit where it's due. So what is the disconnect for ACC men's basketball that we don't necessarily see for the women?
You don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. In terms of the people who cover this conference, by and large, very unserious crew. A very, very unserious crew. And when that happens, you have to be light years better than everybody else. Because ACC women's basketball, there is not a measure or metric that you can use to say that these other conferences are even near in the same stratosphere. The only one that has an argument is the SEC. In terms of women's basketball, are so head and shoulders above. I want you to think about this right now, right? some people would say for women's basketball, well, look, the Big Ten just put out the ACC and the Elite Eight, and Caitlin Clark got to the Final Four. NC State beat that same Iowa team earlier this year in the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
So like, are you saying that nobody has put that, like, brought that up well enough for people to be like, oh, see, like, ACC is still the more elite conference?
Well, what I'm saying is, in terms of, like, again, women's, you cannot deny it because they're so far ahead of everybody else. Like, there's the SEC, ACC, and everybody else. There's, if you made the argument that your conference is in there with the ACC or in the SEC, you would be destroyed immediately. On the men's side, again, I don't get it because we won the ACC Big Ten Challenge on the men's side, correct?
We did.
And then on top of that, we had teams that performed very well in the tournament. And the teams that got knocked out in the first round, look at the teams that beat them and where they are. A lot of those teams are either still playing today or they got eliminated in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. Like, what are we doing here? What are
I want to get your thoughts around the ACC in regards to whether or not, because Duke and North Carolina are not of the creme de la creme right now, that's why there's been lazy reporting. We don't get the same cap of love. We'll talk about it here in just a second, but the Built March Madness bracket is still here. So go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. When you vote for your favorite bar or pup, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built, have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to their door. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they are all high in protein, low in sugar, and 100% covered in real chocolate. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. We are winding down this month of March has been madness, but the ACC is still holding strong, and yet it seems as if North Carolina and Duke are not in the conversation. People don't feel the same love for the ACC. So is it on the fault of the people who cover this conference for not giving us the same love for the other programs that float around this bad boy?
I'm going to make a hot take that a lot of people are not going to like, but it needs to be said. There was a reason that not a single number one seeded team made it to the Elite Eight this year. Mm-hmm. I am sorry to tell you, it's not just the folks who cover the ACC. There's a lot of laziness going around with the folks who are making a lot of decisions in regards for college basketball and who are talking about college basketball a lot. It's easy and it's lazy to say Duke and UNC are bad, therefore this conference is bad. The teams at the top of the conference lost some bad games, therefore the conference is bad. I don't see it. I strongly disagree. Yes, it does not help to have Clemson losing to a terrible Louisville team. Yeah, sure. It doesn't help to then have that same Clemson team beat the dog piss out of NC State all three times that they played. Yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't help that we've seen the first ever preseason number one not make the tournament when the field was expanded to 68. It doesn't help. But the reality is what it is. And if you look at the teams as individuals, top to bottom, the teams that we felt like, hey, they're good enough to get into the tournament but just missed out, I don't see how you can say, well, we are definitively as a conference much worse than all these other conferences. Like, I just don't buy it.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think if we look at the landscape of TV deals and media rights and all the things, and, you know, we get up there, we see Jim Phillips preach about how the ACC may be expanding. It kind of is just falling on deaf ears because at the end of the day, we more than prove ourselves academically and athletically that we are a very good top tier, but not the best conference. And yet the love is just not given back. So from a commissioner lens, you're saying they need to do more to pump us up. They need to do more as coaches to really put ourselves in a good media space to talk about how great our conference is. I'm looking at the mirror, putting it right in front of you and said, well, hey, buddy, you got a good job for a reason. Roger Goodell knows how to put that NFL on the map. Okay.
And it shouldn't be not a single. If I was him, the first thing I would have did was say, none of y'all are allowed to make deals with Bally. None of you. None of you. All of your games. Warren,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, all of your games are going to be played in places where people are going to watch. And granted, and like all things Will said, the conference is decent but needs to improve. I'll say this. I think the conference is good, but it has its faults just like every other conference, without a doubt. Sure.
Sure.
we all know that football is king, and right now it is the SEC, the Big Ten, and everybody else. Sure. I'm not going to argue with you too strongly on that. Absolutely. But again, in this year,
but even if you say that, Kenton, I mean, Clemson has not been a scrub for like the past 5 years for nothing, right? So we have had an ACC powerhouse to be on the main stage, to be in the college football playoff. When the landscape of college football championships has changed, the ACC has still been a contender in that bad boy. So yes, it has been Alabama, but they have faced off against Clemson teams. Yes, it's been LSU, but they still face off against Clemson programs. So I'm like, I'm still a little bit confused.
I mean, I don't think that people give the ACC the credence, because if you look at the SEC, right, the SEC has had multiple teams in just the college football playoff era. You've had the Bama teams that started off kicking this thing off, kind of dominating a little bit and being in a championship or runners up every year, right? And then you had the LSU team that, you know, it was lightning in a bottle. It was Joe Shiesty. It was all the grittying and all that good stuff. And then you have the Georgia dynasty that's coming in right now. So you can make the argument that there are multiple teams. For the Big Ten, you had Ohio State, who won the first ever one, and they got back a couple times. You had Michigan now coming into the party. You had the young man, you know, God bless Shalik Calhoun's heart, because his one shining moment is getting stiff-armed into oblivion by Derrick Henry. But it was in the playoff game, and then Michigan State made a playoff game. So that's the reality. Right now, the ACC only has one team. Only has one team that, you know, was a that type of situation. But again, we're talking about basketball right now. And like Joseph said here, again, the ACC teams gave Miami a better game than what we saw out of the tournament. So to me, you can make the argument that, oh, well, Miami has just gotten hot right now. But I think that there's a lot of credence to what Isaiah Rowan was saying. I think there's a lot of credence. And FSU basketball was just hurt. That's what's wrong with them, all things well.
I know, but that we're going live, but like, we're still running the show. You don't have to answer everybody's question.
I'm sorry. I like to talk to our viewers. But yeah, long story short, I don't think that it's fair to say, you know, ACC basketball is down, given that, again, these are really good teams. And now everybody's screaming that Miami was wildly underseeded. And I'm just like, things that make you go,
Well, I think this one, the ACC – go ahead.
This was a team that was at the top of the conference all year. They were at that top range all year. So, you know.
I think that the ACC should have had more teams into the tournament, for one. I definitely think that when it comes to men's basketball, there's been this slight that I'm still not understanding, because North Carolina's in the championship game. We saw one of the greatest, you know, battles in the Final Four in the history of college basketball. You can't draw it up better than Duke and UNC in Coach K's final year. Like, what more do you want from the conference besides giving you the mecca of all meccas? Unless they had played in the national championship game, I don't think you could write a better script. And we all talk about script. But I leave with the last thought of this. Is Miami a basketball school?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. I'll tell you this. This is not a very big if, but if Miami does not in football see a market improvement next year, and Miami's basketball team holds somewhere near this next year as well, yeah, they're a basketball school at that point. I mean, as much as you want to talk about all the great Miami Hurricane football teams, and again, I am a huge Canes fan. I was a huge Canes fan as a kid. Warren Sapp was my favorite player. He was the reason I wore 99 or wanted to wear 99 on every team I played on. But again, if you see a prolonged period of Elite Eight, Final Four, back to this Elite Eight, Sweet 16 territory, and your football team is not making bowl games back to back to back. Hey, listen, in the words of Andre 3000, you only funky as your last cut.
I mean, Miami always asks, are they back? But I mean, it clearly for basketball says they're here. They're here and not going anywhere. They're showing their consistency. Larinaga's not going until he want to go. So I'm just saying, you look at Coach Meyer and the girls over there on the women's side, they're looking pretty good as well. So it could be something to consider. That's all that we want to say. But while we do know that the NCAA tournament is still abreast, we still want to have a great opportunity for you to get some betting action in. It strongly suggests that you hit up our friends FanDuel, the number one sports book in America. FanDuel is giving new customers a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from money line to point spreads on which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. So wrapping up the show here, we're talking through some really good games. We know that Miami has a chance to go to, not chance, a chance to go to the national championship, but they have a chance to do it by beating UConn. On the women's side, we'd be remiss if we didn't give a brief recap of all the things that are happening there. So as we had talked through, okay, Miami was supposed to like beat Indiana together. Then they were going to beat the other teams together. It didn't quite happen for the ladies. They unfortunately were taken down on Sunday as they were beaten by LSU, Angel Reese, and the girls, which I still think Reese is overrated, but that's another story for another day, as well as Coach Mulkey. LSU is going to the Final Four, as well as Iowa, who beat our Louisville team. Louisville had a good run, but Caitlin Clark liked it. Ain't gonna hold you. She really liked that.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Caitlin Clark is, I say this with all due respect to Pistol Pete and guys of his like, she is the most dominant offensive force that college basketball has ever seen, ever. First ever 40-point triple-double in an NCAA tournament game. I mean, don't get me wrong. Her bigs were finishing. I believe it was I don't know how to pronounce the big's name, but it's very Italian. I wish I was better at pronouncing her name, but long story short, Caitlin Clark had her bigs finishing well and all that because she was giving them amazing passes to put them in position to finish. Her scoring, unmatched. Her ability to rebound. With that scoring and assisting, that, I mean, again, I know that that's not going to make everybody happy. Show me an offensive force that went beyond what she did or that goes beyond what she does on a regular basis. And statistically speaking, there isn't one that showed up in the way that she did in the NCAA tournament ever, men's or women's, the way she did against Louisville. So Louisville, you tip your caps. You kept the ball game close for a lot. But sometimes you watch somebody go legend and you just – you got to tip your cap and say, hey, they were better than us this time.
She definitely went legend. She told Haley Van Lith that you can't see me. She hit her with one of those bad boys, John Cena moves during the game. And I felt like if my opponent did that to me during a game, we got to square up. Like, straight up. Like,
I mean, that's a very Iowa celebration. That's a very Iowa. Like, if you were to tell me, hey, Kenton, a player's doing a you can't see me in 2023, what school do they go to? Iowa would be one of my first guesses. It would be one of my very first guesses.
Yeah, 100%. But we do have another number one seed who is getting ready to face off in a really good way. Virginia Tech takes on Ohio State tonight at 9 p.m. If you're staying up for the late night matchup, the Buckeyes and the Hokies are trying to get that last spot in the Final Four. I really do think that the Hokies have looked so good. They have been tested, sure, but it hasn't been much. Right. Of course, other teams got to score, but the Hokies been looking great.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, this is two really, really good teams. Like, this is two teams that you look at and you say to yourself, something's got to give. Somebody has to be the winner in this game. And I'll tell you this. The thing that I find so interesting about this game is the fact that depth-wise, Virginia Tech is not known for, like, having a very deep bench and all that. However, Ohio State is missing some of their best players who got hurt earlier in the season as well. And so for Ohio State to battle through that adversity and be who they are now and be in this position, great form, but you still got to have an answer for Elizabeth Kitley. And if you find a way to get an answer for her, you still got to come with an answer for Georgia Amore. And if you find a way to answer Kitley and Amore, so they could give you something on the back end to say, hey, I'm still in the building too. So
Greg with 3 G's could give you something.
I'm telling you now, there's plenty of players on this team that, you know, this team, I believe, has reached that maturity because before, if you stopped Kitley, you stopped this team. And that was, they were cooked. They have reached the point now to where even if you find a way to suffocate her, the efforts that it takes to suffocate her is going to leave one of those perimeter players who can absolutely do it open.
Yeah, and I think it's also a nod to Coach Brooks and what he has done with this program and really has, you know, changed the ways of it and built it in a sense of making them an early powerhouse. And so it'll be interesting to see how they make a game plan for a really scrappy Ohio State team. We saw them take on North Carolina in this tournament. They are a no-quit program. They can be down, they can be up, but they never, ever lose their cool. So it'll be unique to see if Virginia Tech can be tested and, you know, still endure and end up beating the Buckeyes when it's all said and done. So again, 9 p.m., that'll be the game. As we wrap up the show here today, again, I say the ACC, for whatever reason, is getting hating on. It's silly, but it's true. It's happening as plain as day. So if you have thoughts as to why it could be, we would love to hear from you. Drop it down as we are live right now. We'll answer those questions. But from a sense of looking into way too early next season, if we get less than 5 teams in the NCAA tournament, Something's up. Somebody's losing the paperwork. The jig is up.
I mean, I'll say this. I don't want to project for next season because there's a lot of teams that we don't know. There's a ton of answers that are – there's a ton of questions that remain unanswered for a lot of teams.
There's a lot of teams in the other conferences that have embarrassed each other. So I just feel like at this point, we need to have like a guaranteed 7.
I mean, here's the thing. If they go out and earn the 7, give them the 7. If they go
they
out
earned
and
it this year, in my opinion, they earned
but
it.
But that's the thing. You can't go by last year's deal.
I don't think Louisville will have a terrible season like they did. There's no statistical way that them Jokers can only win 4 to 5 games.
Let me ask you this. Coming into this season, was there a statistical way that we would have predicted Louisville to be this bad?
No, you didn't know, but I would hope after 1 year of it being crap, you could figure out a way, a will and a way.
Hopefully. But again,
Florida Atlanta was not a part of the KenPom craziness, and they weren't, you know, in the net rankings of being a really good team. And yet somehow, some way they figured it out.
Fun fact about the KenPom rankings. Normally every year, the team that wins the national championship is like one of the most efficient. I want to say either 25 or 50 in top efficiency. None of those teams are left. None. So this is the year for the first time in quite some time. I want to say this will be the second time in the last 15 years that the national champion will not be that highly ranked according to KenPom, which again.
So Jim Phillips said we're thinking too hard about the numbers and not using our eyeballs, which that's just the premise of the show here. We use our eyeballs all the time. But good point here from Mr. Wade. I think that people are saying that because we lack consistency that the other conferences either have or we are doing the loud things quietly and not with enough conviction.
Like, I agree. Again, our media deals are not good. The grant of rights was great. Good job, Phillips. Way to do that. But then you use that.
He didn't do that. Don't put that on him. That was Swofford.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great job, Swofford. But then you look at some of the things that have been done in terms of, again, individual teams' media rights have been done crazily. Like, there should just be, like, certain networks none of y'all should be on. Like, why are y'all on a network that's going bankrupt? What are you doing? What are we doing here?
Lack of research. You know what I'm saying? Not strong in terms of their financial commitments. All the things.
I'm going to tell you this. The same way that we are seeing the results of certain other sectors not doing stress tests, we are seeing the same thing of that in media. There should be something if for all these teams to say, listen, before you sign a media deal with somebody, they need to pass a financial stress test to know that this media company is not going to go under in the next 2 to 3 years or well before y'all deal is up, because then that leaves you without a home, which means you're going to have to go somewhere on the cheap because this place is now done and y'all signed a media deal with them.
Well, Phillips, like Phillips said, there's always ongoing conversations. So we could find a West Virginia or a UConn in this bad boy next season. You never know, because that football program at UConn is on the rise. Basketball program made the Final Four, could make the, yeah, they did make, huh? Yes.
They Final did make Four. The Final Four.
Yeah, so it's like there's a lot of good things happening for the Big East that maybe we could just poach another team, you know?
I mean, listen, I'll tell you that. I believe in football, they're in what, the American, or are they an independent? It's one of those two.
I think they're in the American.
Okay. Either way, I mean, I don't think they'd be very upset to come get some ACC money. The question would be, can UConn draw the crowds and whatnot, which I'm not going to speak on.
No. Okay. Well, what it boils down to is Jim needs to be on the phone calling Notre Dame, figuring out how he can get into that conversation.
And you know what they they're gonna do? They're gonna tell him the numbers that NBC is giving them. Uh-huh. They're gonna laugh. Mm-hmm. And then he's gonna laugh and say, "Let's give me a discount." And they're gonna laugh back. And now everybody's laughing. Everybody's so creative. And then it's gonna be a hang-up situation.
I really think Phillips is going to the Big Ten. Something in my spirit said he ain't gonna be at ACC long.
I mean, I wouldn't be too surprised, but you know.
Yeah. Did you know that his son is the kid that does the crying meme? Do you know that that's his kid from
North I had no clue, but good for him. Good for him.
Oh. That's his kid. That's hilarious.
That's very strange. That's very strange. That is very strange.
Someone said, "Go Hokies," and it's all about the U. Both teams, again, are still fighting for opportunity to be national champions. It's nice to see that we've got several programs still in this bad boy because all in all, I think we're the superior conference. It's, you know, bar none. I'm clearly rooting for everybody ACC here, and I think that there's a good opportunity for things to happen. So my guy, Mike Jeezy, said he guarantees a dubs going for the Miami Hurricanes. We'll see. Crazier things have happened, but Larry Nagan and the boys look great. My coach of the year, personally.
Can I ask you a question? If they win a national championship, are they a basketball school to you at that point? If the U wins a national championship, are they a basketball school to you?
Coach Larry Nagan would be a Hall of Fame winning coach who happened to take a Miami program to that bad boy.
So Miami still wouldn't be a basketball school. I think they would be. I think that, again, if they get a natty this year and continue it next year with at least a Sweet 16 appearance, and if football doesn't improve drastically, like at least 8 wins, I think you at that point you kind of gotta, you know what I mean? You gotta admit.
Is Miami gonna get 8 wins?
Again, if the basketball
way team too goes early to football Sweet 16, talk, way too early football.
I'm just saying, if the basketball team goes to Sweet 16 again, right? They win the natty this year, Sweet 16 next year. Football wins six, seven games, maybe less next year. Listen. The legends were legending, right? But it's still hard to, you know. Hey, if football
the early 2000s were the early 2000s were a good little bit ago.
Oh, so. Those teams were menaces. They were menaces. They were amazing to watch. But again, with all that said, those guys are all retired now. None of them are even in the NFL anymore. With all due respect, a few of them have made the Hall of Fame. Many of them made Pro Bowls, all that good stuff. Hey, no doubt about it. However, again, it's only so long you can live off the ghost of the past. You got to talk about who's walking in that door and who ain't. And who ain't don't matter at that point.
That's very fair. Well, we'll replay this show for you guys. So feel free to put all your comments in this bad boy. It'll be premiering at 5:31 to give you an early taste. So make sure you check it out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are so close to 1,000. It's hurting me. But if you want to hear full college basketball conversation, you want to find out about Florida Atlantic, you want to find out about UConn, you want to find out about Miami, or you want to find out about any of the women's hoop sides, please check out Locked On College Basketball with Isaac and the boys. They make sure they get you covered from an entire landscape. So they'll talk about it there. For Candace Cooper and Kenton Gibbs, we hope you have a great rest of your day. Until next time.